based on a true scary, contains adult themes, language, and all-around scary shit. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, guys. Welcome to Based on a True Scary. It's me. It's Trisha. I'm here with Jake. We have a fancy guest today. First up, how are you doing, Jake? I guess I should say hi to you.
Yes, that'd be nice.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. It's been a while. If no one really knows this, but we haven't recorded in 7 weeks.
Yeah, it's true. So we're a little rusty. Yeah. We're going to apologize on the upfront.
I'm going to apologize for shit.
It's so nice to see you again. Jake actually shaved his beard and cut his hair.
I know. All our promo photos don't match anymore.
It's throwing me off big time. That's fine because we have a lovely guest here today who he is an actor, but also mainly a resident manager of an apartment building and a waiter.
Hey, great to be here.
Welcome, Connor. Great to have you.
Yeah.
He actually chose, or we chose and made him do this, this film, The Haunting in Connecticut.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't choose this one.
But we won't blame you. It's fine.
I blame you a little bit, but apparently because I'm a dick, according to Trisha.
And
you got a dick
all
with a
of
good
our
heart.
Audience yeah, members.
Yeah. A dick with a good heart. There you go.
Yeah, that's all you need to be. Today we're going to look at The Haunting in Connecticut. I'll dive right in on the specs here. 2009, this bad boy came out.
Which shocks me for some reason. I don't know why, but I thought it would be earlier.
Yeah, looked earlier. Now that you just said that, it was like, it feels like mid early thousands.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually a fair point.
Yeah.
It's not good, so...
No, it's really not. Can we get that out, just now, that we can all agree on
it's this? It's a roller coaster. It was like, I was like, okay, it's okay, and I'm like, okay, this is going nowhere. Then the ending, which we'll get to, is like, all right,
I actually thought it was like a trash movie.
Yeah, it really was.
As I continue, it's a trash movie that was directed by Peter Cornwell. Thank you, Peter. Peter did, literally nothing else.
Oh, right.
He did a few episodes of Hemlock Grove and a horror movie called Mercy, which I've seen on Netflix. I guess it's based on a Stephen King story, and it stars Carl from The Walking Dead. Mercy.
Carl!
I don't know. I haven't seen it. I wouldn't recommend it. but yeah, it was also written by Adam Simon, who wrote Brain Dead.
Oh, no way. Wow.
The Peter Jackson one?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love it.
Yep.
I did not know that.
And then
I should look that up.
Bones, the Snoop Dogg horror movie.
Oh, do you guys remember?
I love that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a fun one.
I don't know why, but
he co-wrote it. I'm sorry. He co-wrote it with Tim Metcalf, who randomly wrote Revenge of the Nerds 1, 2, 3 and 4. So he's a genius. Yeah. So should have expected more from Tim. Tim also wrote Fright Night Part 2 and he co-wrote Bones. So yeah, amongst other things, but those were the weirdest ones that I had to bring up, along with The Haunting in Connecticut. So again, should have been better.
Yes, I couldn't agree more.
Cool.
I mean, I don't know if it should have been, but it wasn't. It wasn't better than it was.
Exactly. Budget for this bad boy was $10 million. Box office return was $77 million.
Yeah, I'm just confused by that. I did see that.
Is that the Conjuring angle? Did the Conjuring come out? What was
Conjuring
the
No.
Paranormal Activity, wasn't that early thousands? So was
Paranormal
everybody just
Activity
like,
would have been before, I think.
No, that was way after.
Ooh. The first one?
No.
Isn't it 07 or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, it's definitely before.
Maybe they were just following that model because that was four? It was low millions and it made high millions.
I mean, I guess maybe it was just a good time for shitty Lionsgate horror movies.
2007. Yeah, you guys are right. Yeah.
Jake, how dare you question me and our guests?
I'm somewhat ashamed that I knew that.
I know you. I didn't know the year. I knew it was before.
Yeah.
I'm actually impressed. Don't be ashamed. Rotten Tomatoes for this bad boy was 17% critic and then 45% audience, which might be the lowest of the films we've done so far.
Yeah, that makes sense.
17 is bad. And then Metacritic gave it 33%. But overall, they agreed
I'm
with
I'm still just impressed that it's so high.
The gross? 77 million?
No, and then the...
Oh, you think 43 for audience is pretty high.
That's pretty high.
I mean...
I will never watch this movie again.
No.
It's good to watch with a friend and talk to and make fun of.
Or
I have
talk
just
over.
Notes of jokes. I can't wait to,
Oh, good. We'll jump in.
No.
Yeah, PG-13.
Let's not jump in.
PG-13, though. So that, not saying that a movie needs to be R to be good. But like PG-13, so like it's not super scary. Although Poltergeist
that
is PG.
That explains so much. There's so many scenes
on. Poltergeist is PG from the 80s, and it has a guy literally ripping his face off
and
in
it's
front
like
of a mirror.
Horrifying.
Yeah. It's really gruesome.
And then the truth claim in this bad boy. So trailers, marketing, at the beginning of the movie, they all have the based on a true story card. Did you guys notice it was in just like an Arial font on a black normal background?
Oh, yeah. That was the first thing. So me and my friend Brittany, and she's wonderful. She's a writer. You should just have her on. She knows more about the stuff. She was like, is this papyrus? Literally the first thing the credits started rolling, she's like, this is papyrus.
It's like if I made it in like a Google Docs, it looks like our website. Yeah.
Guys, I did not notice this. There's something wrong with
you. Yeah, but I guess we can jump into the plot and our thoughts on it. So we all agree that it was trash. Moving on.
Check.
So it opens, it's like post interview style, so maybe like biting the
oh you mean that opening interview that
who like, she we don't know if she's talking
was
to a film
pointless.
Yeah,
the really, what slate was it? I recorded the slate had the actual director on it, the actual DP. Like
no.
It was like, yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah So
that's incredible.
So there was no point to that whole opening,
just to make it seem more real.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah,
and to, you know, get that opening shot of Virginia Madsen, the beautiful Virginia Madsen of Candyman and Sideways and a million other things, I'm sure.
She's been in a couple movies. That's true.
Yeah.
She's a good one. So she was the mom of the Campbell family were introduced to.
Sarah Campbell.
Oh, good. You have their first names. I did not get her first name. She's just mom in my notes. Yeah. But yeah, so we meet the Campbell family, who is your average American family with an alcoholic father or ex-alcoholic father, recovering alcoholic. To like a girl, young girl, young boy, son Matt, who is dying of cancer.
There's Matt, the son.
Yeah.
Then there's the other son.
And then there's
cousins.
And then there's cousin Wendy.
Yeah.
Wendy.
I was confused by all the people at some point just kind of seemed in the house. Like,
so yeah, they're the cousin Wendy, and the little girl's a cousin too, are staying with them for some reason.
Right.
Yeah.
She's just random cousin living there. Seemingly because they needed a hot teen in the movie.
Yes.
And
nailed it.
Yeah. So that is the Campbell family.
Believable.
It's June 19, 1987. Great year.
Wait, so this was... Oh, I didn't even realize it was like a period thing.
Which you... I mean, really, there's no...
There's no indication of it, really.
No use of cell phones is the only thing that really gave it away to me.
Yeah, that's valid.
Yeah. Because they were kind of dressed normally, like...
They didn't give any sort of like overt 80s...
vibe to it.
Was there a single card that said the year or anything?
Yeah, right.
Oh,
at the
there
beginning.
Was. I must have been looking at my phone.
You didn't have to take detailed notes like we do, so that's totally fair. But yeah, the Campbells—they're struggling financially, driving their son Matt to Connecticut to get his 8-hour drives, cancer treatments, and they want to live there. They can't afford a house, but they decide, "Fuck it!" So they move
into the creepiest house on the market.
Yes, an obviously haunted house.
Yeah. Like, and the whole thing too was that he's getting experimental
treatment. Yeah.
And he's like, they're driving and they already see the house and they're like, this house has history. Like, they're like, oh, okay, yeah, well, it's not right.
Oh, it's really cheap?
Oh, it's cheap? Still not nice. Oh, you're sick in the car? Fuck it. Let's move the whole family.
Yep. Done and done.
That's it.
Like, have you ever...
Did they tour it before they went in there? Because there's obviously like a really big, blatantly obvious like, there was like a gurney in the basement, and then there's like these doors that just like no one even looked behind.
Yeah.
There's creepy ass basement. I don't think they toured it. No.
They did not tour it. There's
at least
no
they didn't
way.
Go
but
into
the kid
the
went downstairs that's like sick and was like, I want to live here.
This is where I want to fucking live.
Immediately sees creepy basement and is like, and this is after, by the way, they spent one night in the house, right? And he's already had creepy visions of people getting like tortured in the basement. And he's like, yeah, I think I'm just going to live down here. That sounds great.
This seems like a good idea.
Yep.
Also, like just like once they went in that basement and there's that room there, which is just like a wall,
almost
like an office.
I like the idea of like your son is dying of cancer. So let's like put him in like the coldest, darkest, most away from the family room of the house.
Yeah.
He's like
he's going to have needs in the middle of the night and stuff. I'm just going to throw it out there.
And then your ass is going to have to walk down those stairs. And it's cold. Nobody wants that. But then, I mean, pretty much after that, it was like your run-of-the-mill Lionsgate jump scare horror movie.
Yeah. And there was a couple of good jump scares in there. All the mirror stuff. or like reflection stuff.
Mirror stuff was good when he's like putting the dishes away and then they fell and they
came
moving.
Back and yeah.
And he's like, "Oh, you too fatigued to hold the dish, honey?" Doesn't she say something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, she does.
Yeah.
Which it's like,
what?
But cool sleeping in the basement.
Yeah.
Not cool holding dishes.
But he's not allowed to talk about that he's seen things.
So that's where you get the twist, right? Is that in his experimental cancer drug trial, if he starts acting weird or like having visions, he gets kicked out.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't trauma. Catch that part. Again, I probably wasn't paying as good attention as you guys.
Did you fall asleep?
No, I mean, we were joking and talking through it. But I mean, I'm guessing he has brain cancer because there's like a time where his eyes are all black and blue, and then like he has like the whole MRI thing.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Which I don't know what that mesh thing was.
I think that's the whole like experimental study. That's what they kept calling it. Yeah.
So yeah, what do I have? Oh yeah, he's seeing like bodies with symbols carved into them, right? And then like visions of people slicing eyelids off of ghosts, which that's is super fun.
The eyelid circumcision.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, it's like a little eyelid bris tool.
Oh god, that was kind of gross.
Was it made specifically for eyelids, or was that just a little wee-wee snipping tool?
I mean, I don't think they would have one that like overarcs and curves to like snip the wiener, but I don't know. Have you never
circumcised a young boy?
I mean, I wasn't close enough to witness it, but I did once bartend a bris. So
did you really?
Yeah. It was weird. Like people were leaving the room I was working with because they were like, I can't handle this.
But yeah, good. Eyelids being circumcised. And then all of a sudden, Matt is just able to open the doors into the basement. Right?
No, it opens.
It opens for him probably because of ghosty stuff. Yeah.
And then he just gets in there and he's just fine. He's just walking around.
Totally cool. And basically,
invites his little brother over.
They start spinning around
in the
embalming table.
Yeah. And there's like still tools there that they use to carve people up.
And gloves, chemicals and everything. Yeah.
Yep. No big deal. That's what Campbell family is just straight up like, all right, let's have a family meeting. This was a mortuary.
Right.
We're going to be cool with that.
And what I like the dad just when he comes in, he just kind of looks around and he's like, oh, all right, family meeting. Like there's no like, guys, get the fuck out of here, man. Yeah. Yeah, clean this shit up, dude.
Yeah. I mean, he's pissed, right? Because he's like, to the mom, he goes like, you knew, you had to know. This is why it was so cheap, because it's clearly a very spooky haunted house. And she's like, I didn't know. Which, how could you not?
Right.
And then that,
like, even if it wasn't haunted, when you realize your son is like sleeping in the basement with like an obvious mortuary right in it.
That just seems grim.
Like, well, it's like that compounded with him having brain cancer and possibly dying seems like...
like a bad omen.
Yeah, just like overall, like a like let's get out of the situation right now while we're ahead.
Not to interrupt you, but I did... I wasn't raised in a funeral home, but I spent many times in a funeral home.
Is this true?
Yeah, my grandma.
Oh, wow.
She lived in a funeral home, and we would have to walk from her apartment through the casket showing room.
Were you the kid that circumcised the eyelids?
Was that your role?
Yeah.
Well, that's why I would say we walk through the casket room to the circumcised room. Uh-huh. And then through the casket area again to the garage, which was the mortuary.
Mortuary? That's insane.
Yeah. It was good times.
And you saw bodies.
I saw bodies. I saw like teeth, collections of teeth.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Did you ever see like a bunch of them start to shake at once and then they were on sheets?
Yes. And then the little like symbols came over and I just woke up
and
decided,
then your mom
I'm
came
great.
Up
yeah.
And was like, what did you do to yourself? And you're like, there's no way I could have physically done this to myself, mom.
They're like, why are you scratching the walls and all the chairs are piled up?
There was a lot of like no concern for like he would keep seeing things.
Yeah.
And just be like, oh, okay, all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, yeah. Why would you want to like delve deeper in that scenario?
Yeah.
He's like, I'm just going to keep walking in this room. This is really weird. And the door slammed, but I'm still in this.
I'm going to move out of the basement. That's what I would
say. He never moves out of the basement. The whole movie. Whatever. So then he sees that like the people having the seance, right? And that's when there's that, the kid has the goo coming out of his mouth, which is the poster of the movie.
Right.
Yeah, the ectoplasm, which we learn later. You love ectoplasm.
Yeah.
We've discussed ectoplasm on this podcast before, and everybody very much likes it.
To be fair, the last time we talked about it, I think we were talking about it being equal to ghost jizz.
Ghost jizz. Yeah. So there, yeah,
wait,
we were onto something.
Pause. There it is.
Oh my God.
So, question. Do you actually believe in like seances and ectoplasm and stuff? Or
I don't know.
Is it just like an interest of yours?
Just interest.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, I don't really believe in any of this stuff. Do you?
No.
No, okay.
Like, I wish. That I know. Would be super cool.
I wish I could get into it. It's like astrology with me. Like, come on, guys. You believe in it, don't you?
Well, I just love my co-star. I just like any excuse to validate my shitty life and behavior.
There
like
you go.
I'm like,
there it is.
I'm like, oh yeah, was I supposed to be grumpy today? Like, okay, cool. So yeah, after he sees the seance, Matt goes to the hospital and he meets Reverend Popesco, I believe that gentleman's name was.
Oh, you mean Casey Jones from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movies?
What's his name? Ilias.
He's great. I love that guy. I don't know if you've seen it. So he's in this movie called Exotica, and it's great.
It's good?
Yeah, it's great.
He kind of looks like Christopher Maloney.
Yes.
Like
yeah.
a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
I get them mixed up.
It was bugging me.
But they're both fantastic. So that's this reverend guy kind of becomes Matt's buddy and is like, he's also suffering from cancer. Yeah. He's getting cancer treatment.
What a weird way to introduce someone and then like,
this
like,
weird
it just
character.
Felt so creepy.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah, and then he's at the house. His mom has like never had an idea of him. Like, he just shows up. He's like, oh, I get treatment with your son.
Yeah. And what but her reaction to all that, it's not like.
She's just in denial
time. What's going on here? Like, it's just like, get the fuck out. Get the fuck out.
Not like, oh, I understand that you guys are like both like battling for your lives.
Yeah,
you
guys you're a reverend, so maybe you're just like kind of helping him come to terms with his potentially imminent death. Yeah. Like, no, just pissed.
It's not how you talk to people.
No, it is not. No. And then we also, I think after he meets the reverend, that's when we get the random shot, my favorite part of the movie, where the dad is driving home from work, clearly having a hard time that his son is sick with cancer, and he stops in front of the bar and just looks in at the two people drinking happily. It just looks like a Getty image, like stock footage
right,
people like happily drinking at the bar. And he's like, oh, like I want that drink, and just drives away. Randomly in the middle of the movie. Do you guys not remember?
I remember him being outside the bar, but I must have missed like the really cheesy clink that was going on.
It was insane.
I couldn't,
so out of place.
I couldn't move past the guitar strum with the guitar smash.
Yeah, I was joking. Was he like frustrated that he like couldn't play that bar chord? Because like he obviously doesn't know how to play guitar.
Yeah.
And they also in that scene they had one poster that was just like a guy fingering a bass, but like it's not even a person that you would recognize. It's so obviously a set deck.
Oh my god!
Just taking a bass player and putting his fingers on the wall.
Once you said guy fingering, I thought that was going to go down a whole other path.
I was like, I missed that. This is PG-13. What if? No.
They did a Walt Disney and just snuck something vulgar in there, you know?
The dad basically starts drinking and playing guitar.
He doesn't
He starts drinking and like basically tries to play guitar.
Yeah.
And then gets frustrated and like smashes it into his turbo
like,
amp.
Are you upset because your son is dying or because you're really shitty guitar player?
Yeah.
Well, I think after that, it's like basically just over and over again, like people are sad that Matt has cancer and then ghost shit happens.
Yeah.
But then we finally get, so there's the scene where they're playing hide and seek.
Right, right.
Which was super fun.
But this is when Matt comes in and he's being a little weird.
Right.
And Wendy's like, let's fucking play hide and seek. Let's get out away from this guy.
Right.
And then
that's when they discover the little girl like breaks through the attic floor and they find the circumcised eyelids, a box of eyelids, and then the pictures of the seances and the ectoplasm. And Wendy and Matt are finally like, cool, like what the fuck? That kid is the kid that I've been seeing. So then we get the rushed 3-minute info overload, which I had to watch maybe 3 times to write everything down.
Yeah, I just looked it up.
You did?
Was this the seance?
No, this was the library.
This is when they go to the library and they learn, I have it written down.
Oh,
so
yeah. I thought that too.
Holy shit. It was like the most information jam-packed into a couple minutes that I've ever seen.
Like, was it to show like he retained that from all that, or is this just what
they just
like,
learned it in
know.
The library? Wendy's just like, okay.
And it was also like right at their fingertips. They're like, oh yeah, so I learned this and this and this and this and this. And it
no
was right here on the shelf.
Exactly. And then all of a sudden it was like, funeral home was owned by Dr. Aikman. He was conducting seances. The dead boy that like the kid had been seeing was his young assistant named Jonah, who was also a powerful medium. They would amplify their seances to make ectoplasm appear. That's why they saw those pictures. And then they also learned that at one seance, everyone was found dead except Jonah, who went missing. And then Also, they found out that the cemetery nearby was void of a bunch of bodies. So they were like, oh, they were stealing the bodies for the seances. Yeah. This is thrown at you.
Very quick.
Is insane.
It also seems like really easily accessible public information, which I guess the guy that rented them the house just like wanted to avoid all that. Like he must know. It's right there.
Yeah. I still think he told her and she just...
And he told her all that. He was just like,
probably not all that.
My kid's dying of cancer. Yeah. Can we just move in here right away?
He's like, by the way, the walls are literally lined with bodies. Have fun. Goodbye.
Also, like, there's like really low tier Winco beef in the wall. If you're outside, you might punch through.
Don't lean too hard. Yeah, because
like we filled
it
with like Fred Meyer tube beef.
That's why it reeks of rotting flesh in here. If you weren't aware, because there's so many dead bodies. So basically, yeah, that's when Reverend comes into the house. The Reverend's basically just like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Also, the bodies are probably in the house. Doesn't he say he's like, they're probably buried in the house?
Yes, he says something. And he also says that they were practicing necromancy.
Oh, that's right.
To control the dead.
And that's why they cut their eyelids.
Bind them to the house.
Yeah, he basically just validates everything that they assume is going on. And then is like, this place is haunted as
fuck.
Thank
God that Reverend got cancer and was able to be at that moment. To meet that other kid with cancer
Otherwise,
who's seen dead people.
In the grand scheme of things, he did a huge service where, you know.
Oh, he did.
You know, so we understand what happens is she kicks the Reverend out.
She kicks the Reverend out of the house.
And then the dad comes home drunk.
Wasted.
Yeah, but like, why are the lights on? Sorry, I don't know if I blew your ears out with that.
No, you're good.
But he's just like, who the fuck turned the lights on? I have to pay. It was like the most like ludicrous idea of a drunk guy coming home.
But can I tell you something? Know. Next time I come home and those fucking lights are on. Guess what? Sorry, Cora.
Inspiration. Yeah,
it's going to happen after this episode.
Yep. As it should. Because that's expensive.
And yeah, obviously. I mean, he made his case that he was paying a lot of money for like that $1.50 in energy while he was gone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. So then after he does that, it's like a bunch of poltergeist shit goes
down.
Weird
poltergeist. Yeah, that's been my problem with this movie so far is like, what kind of ghost are we dealing with here?
It's just, we're all over the mess.
It's all over the place.
Yeah.
Things are moving. There's visions. Now all of a sudden there's weird, it reminds me of the Entity. Like weird stuff coming from the,
all the birds. There was like a bunch of
just shadows of birds.
Shadows of birds just and the sounds of birds. Do you remember that in like Wendy's room?
I think
room?
Connor was sleeping at that point.
Yeah. No, I was watching.
Were you?
Yeah, I mean, who knows, you know?
And then that's when Mom is like, okay, fine, get the Reverend back over here, which happens really quickly. It's almost like the same night, I think. Yeah. She calls his ass back over. And that's when he's like, we got to get the body out. He removes Jonah's body, which is like buried in the basement. They think everything's hunky-dory.
It stops. It just stops.
It stops for a second. It does. Yeah.
And he says, once again, filling in just the little dumb things. Like, it's like an aftershock. You're going to see some shit for a couple days.
Yeah.
But it's going to go away. Don't worry.
But wasn't his body also like a small pile of ash and a jawbone?
Yeah.
And he was like, I got him all. I got him all in the car. We're good. And then he's like, hold on. Hold up. I think there's maybe like another 100 bodies down there. So they might want to fucking haunt you too. Right?
Yes. Also, the visions he had to realize that, hey, remember he has the vision and
once they realize that it's not true.
That Jonah was keeping them all the.
Yes, they realize that Matt and the Reverend get the same vision of Jonah being like, dude, no, my body was keeping the angry spirits at bay. Now you guys are fucked.
Did you catch that? Because I did not.
I had to watch it 3 more times to make sure that's what it is. But since I've seen any other ghost movie, I was like, that's what's happening.
Yeah, I knew something. I knew there was a twist there. But the whole time I was like, wait, what? What's going on? He gets trapped in the what he thinks is the dumbwaiter, but ends up being
it's the furnace.
The furnace,
right?
That's
how he
confusion
died.
Happened.
Who knows?
Well, panic.
I guess
we'll just
give
it to him.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, he's a kid.
He was
kids
kid.
Make dumb mistakes.
He looked like Carl from The Walking Dead. I thought that, but it's not because Carl from The Walking Dead was probably not born in 2009.
Thank you for catching that. I didn't want to point that out.
He just looked like him. Just saying. So then Matt, that's how Matt, he was in the hospital at this point in time.
So he's in the hospital, right? Because he wakes up with all, this is what you were talking about earlier.
Yeah. That's
covered in those markings.
So this is the dumbest moment is his mom goes up, what did you do to yourself, honey? It's like, yeah, mom, I made like precision marks on my chest with a fucking razor head to toe in the last 5 minutes that you saw me. She isn't like, what the fuck is going on? She immediately like tries to like make sense of it.
So he wakes up in the hospital and there's some guy next to him. Like this guy just got pulled in with markings all over him.
Oh, the lunatic?
No one's like, should we call the cops? Like, should we, like...
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Someone's abusing this kid. Like,
yeah. Like, the doctors like, are like, we're fine not calling child services.
Hey, does anyone think maybe we should do a stitch or two?
Yeah.
He's covered in slashes.
He has the alphabet written on him hundreds of times in razor.
Nope. Just put a cloth over him and leave him alone in a room.
Yep.
So that he can run away.
Next to this crazy
but,
guy.
Yeah, but
next
also with a guy that's like, yeah, literally like probably a danger to himself and everybody else in the room.
So yeah, Matt runs home.
Runs home.
And then we get the climactic scene. He's like, gets the family out of the house and then starts
the axe, the whole axe thing. I kind of dug the axe thing.
Well, that was fun because we got to see these also somehow completely preserved corpses that were just
but
lining the interior of
I
the
think,
home.
I yeah. think he was mummifying them.
But the
oh,
other thing
that
is,
makes sense because, yeah, okay.
His energy went really way up since the plate dropping, though. Like, he fucking was turning, throwing tables over and, like, chopping up the walls.
Yeah, he's
like,
chopping the house
dude,
down.
You're, like,
cause he's, at
deep
that
in point, chemo, bro.
But
I get it.
At like, that point, he was Jonah.
Oh, he was possessed by Jonah.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So yeah. He had, like,
oh,
ghost strength.
Right.
Thank you, Wikipedia, for telling me that, because I did not catch that.
No. He had ghost strength.
Yeah, he had ghost strength.
Ghost
yeah.
Jonah strength. Yeah. Which, yeah.
Which is still like a 6-year-old child, I think, or a 10-year-old child.
Yeah, but you take that and you just like give it a little nudge to like a 20-year-old that has cancer. Probably get him there.
Yeah, combined. You're like at a decent.
Yeah,
you
like
can
a decent 20-year-old.
Well, also he just comes charging in and Wendy's like, what are you doing with his ex? What are you doing with his ex? And he just comes in. She's like, she closes the door. Like, couldn't you just be like, No. Get out, guys. Get out. I'm trying to help you out here. Like, I'm trying to... And instead of Wendy going to the front door with the kids, she's like, let's play hide and seek.
Yeah, like, there's enough bizarre shit going on now. Like, just, like, give him the benefit of the doubt that, like, he's trying to help out.
Yeah. So
he's covered in markings. So, yeah, ultimately takes the bodies out of the walls, and then he's like, oh, we have to cleanse them in a fire.
There's tons of bodies.
So many
bodies. Did it remind you of the opening of Sicario?
Yeah.
I was like, this is Sicario. Yeah,
I love Sicario.
It's so good.
That's a good movie.
That's a really good movie. We should talk about that.
I don't think it relates to our...
So, we've got... Yeah. and that, I mean, that's basically it. So, he lights the house on fire, burns the bodies. That is how
tells
they're...
Tells them to stay out and let him burn because he's already dead.
Right.
Yes.
So, he has his triumphant moment. But Mom breaks into the house
Mom
and is like,
Dad.
Gotta get my baby out of here. They pull him out. We think he's going to die. Like, they sort of leave. And then he goes off into, like, you know, like the death limbo state, but then comes back. We see Jonah's spirit leave his body.
Yes.
And
by the way,
then,
who called it? Who knew right away it was going to be gone?
The cancer?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
I do. Right. I wrote,
cancer's
not going to
be
there
cured.
Anymore.
Yep.
It's gone.
Because apparently ghosts can cure cancer.
Yeah.
Who knew?
I mean, they give you strength to tear up a house. They should like at least cure your cancer while doing it.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, and the main thing too is the
that's
whole...
nice.
I mean, they never touched upon like the fact that he went to trial for arson.
Well, I guess if the family doesn't press the charges. Yeah.
I mean, the other thing is like, can they... Like, he burns down a house with bodies. Like, are they, like, not suspects? Are they just like, look, those bodies were there before and we were trying to, like, cleanse the house?
And they literally burned all the evidence. Yeah.
You know those
right,
bodies that
job.
Are covered in the exact same markings as me right now? Totally unrelated.
Yeah.
I had nothing
also,
to do with that.
How many, like, inadvertent, like, unpurposeful laughs did you guys have? Like, there's, like, a body just, like, slams down on the floor and, like, another body falls funny.
There was
a lot
one
of laughing
that,
in that scene.
Wait, there's a note here I have where... Sorry. Oh, the body falling from the ceiling.
That's the one that
that's,
oh,
that
yeah,
was good.
That,
oh,
it's
yeah.
just like, all right.
So many bodies. So then we get like the three end cards that say his cancer has disappeared. He's made a full recovery. That the Aikman house has been rebuilt, restored, and resold. And that no subsequent occupants have complained of any disturbing manifestations ever since.
So was it all in his head because he had brain cancer?
That's what I was saying.
Who knows?
Why are you guys both looking at me?
Is this too deep of a subject? Is this too like...
It's a good,
I never had brain cancer. I don't know.
It's a good segue into the fact-checking portion of the podcast.
Cool.
Hey guys, it's Trisha here. Just want to remind you to please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to us. Also, please be sure to follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Based on a True Scary and on Twitter at Based on a Scary. Plus, if you guys have a movie you want us to fact check, or if you just want to tell us how much you love us, how much you hate us, or have any feedback in general, send us a message on our social channels or just send an email to basedonatruescary@gmail.com. We always want to hear from you guys and gals. So yeah, let us know what you think. Thanks so much. And okay, back to the show.
So this is the portion where we will ask you questions. Okay. Well, by we, she will.
It's all
yeah.
me.
And, all right. And you have to answer yes or no.
You have to.
Have to. Okay. Yeah. No maybes.
Okay.
It is all the pressure.
Oh, man. There's a lot riding on this.
30 seconds on the clock. Are you? No. Okay. Yeah. So we'll start a little broad here. Yeah,
I think there was a house in Connecticut.
Do you think, well, how about this?
I say yeah.
Do you think if there was a family who moved into a house in Connecticut that they thought was haunted?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they thought it was haunted when they moved in, but.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Yeah. Okay. Again, false end of podcast tonight. Yeah. Yeah. I know, we need to get sound effects. So this movie was based on the Snedeker family, which I hate saying, and I'm going to have to say a bunch of times.
Yeah, I'm glad you said it because I was like, I don't know how to say that.
Well,
name.
I watched a video on how to say it, Snedeker.
Good for you.
So they moved into a house in 1986, by the way, 1 year off for, again, seemingly no reason.
Why would you lie about that?
How difficult would it have been to say 1986 instead of 1987?
Yeah.
Fine. They moved into a house in Southington, Connecticut. The family was compromised of a teenage girl and three young sons. After moving into the house, they started experiencing strange occurrences and hauntings. It smelled like decaying flesh. Items would move around the house. Dishes would put themselves away. They would see strange figures walking around.
It's a plus.
Right?
That sounds great. Yeah. I love the smell of decaying flesh.
They would hear birds. So that is why they did that in the movie. They would hear birds flying around. And
isn't
then,
that normal, like birds flying around houses?
I guess in the house.
But they were like, oh my God, there's birds here too?
In Connecticut? Not in my Connecticut. And then one day the mom, Carmen, was mopping the floor when the water turned to blood, which we did see in the movie.
I was just going to say, that whole thing was so silly. That whole edit.
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't know.
I mean, they had to be like, it really happened. So I guess they could, that
like,
validates their...
Yeah, what are you looking
their...
at, honey? He's like, are you pushing paint around right now?
Yeah, because you also can't like second like guess it. You're like, no, I fucking saw blood being mopped around, you know?
Yeah. But he, again, it could just be the cancer.
That's true.
Yeah. That cancer. Was the whole thing in the
cancer,
beginning.
Yeah.
Well, it's probably the cans.
It's the cans. Like, oh. Are we calling it cans now?
Yes, the cans.
I love it.
Disrespectful, but kind of cute. Yeah. The parents also claimed that they were raped and sodomized repeatedly by the demons in the house. So PG-13, they couldn't cover that content in this film. But the actual family that it was based on did say that that was happening to them. Which you have a good quote, right?
Oh, yeah, right. So in this, we'll actually finish your part and I'll
okay, well that. that's where we'll for this question we'll end it there, but we're gonna dive a lot deeper. Does your quote give spoilers for the rest of it? Okay, well we'll get to it when we do. Jake has a quote coming up. True or false, does Jake have a quote coming up?
True, for sure.
That is correct. Okay, awesome. So this one's a quick one. In the movie they have cousin Wendy who lives with them. Do we think that in real life they had a cousin that just randomly lived with them?
No,
it's true.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
In your face.
Fuck. I totally thought that was just a plot device for the film, but so Carmen Snedeker's niece, Tammy, came to live with them when they were in
but
the house.
Like, was this after like she heard weird shit was going down?
No,
just, like,
so it was
the family
before.
Just started moving?
Okay. Yeah. So she basically moved. Her parents were divorced apparently and like shit was bad at home. So she just decided to live
moving
with
to the mortuary with a dying kid.
Yeah. Hindsight could have been helpful here. Yeah. Right. So
well,
I'm sure
her situation
now,
must have been really rough. Yeah.
I'm sure now she's like, wow, divorced parents sodomized by demons. Like maybe could have been, but yeah, she did.
Wait,
so
was she one that claimed that happened to her as well?
She did experience hauntings. I don't know if she claims that she was sodomized, by the demons. I think it was mostly the parents that said that.
Is it
the kids.
Clearly, is it like solely sodomy?
And,
this ghost is just really into butts? Like, what's the deal?
They did say they clarified sodomy and rape, so both entrances. Yeah.
Wow.
Front both? And back
so he was
door.
Them all.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Am I being too vulgar for this?
No,
this is good. This is like that. Yeah.
Please.
I was going to go there, but thank you.
It could take some blame off of us.
Yeah. It's nice not to be that guy every time.
In any future podcast, you can just be like, well, Connor said it, but he wasn't here.
Yep. That's why we have guests, so we can blame it on them. Cool. Okay. Cool. Very, very cool, Trisha. So how about, speaking of cool, the son in the film has cancer.
Super cool.
Super, yes, super cool. Also otherwise known as Cance. Do we think that one of the sons of the Seneca family had cancer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I was actually shocked that that was true. And it's actually, it's pretty, this is where they draw like a lot of inspiration. So oldest son, Philip, who was around 14 at the time, was suffering from Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Oof.
Yeah. And they actually moved into the house so they could be closer to the hospital where Philip was receiving treatment.
Double true.
So double true.
Yeah.
Dubs sense. Troops.
Dub troops.
A little trips truths here. Oh. So Philip was also the first to start experiencing the visions and seeing the ghost. And he started showcasing strange personality shifts. Soup's cool. He became
closer to death. I mean, right. It makes sense if it's real.
I know, that's what they talk about.
Well, there's
about
that
the
one, like, he's like, the reverend's like,
you're closer to death.
You're
yeah.
too strong, so you can't see.
You can't see,
it.
The ghost. Yeah. Which, like, I don't believe in ghosts, but that to me, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
That makes sense. Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. So, Philip, again, being closer to death, he could see them. He started experiencing personality shifts. He was withdrawn and really angry. And then I thought this was interesting that they noted he started writing poetry with necrophiliac themes. Do you guys know what necrophilia is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Jake's really into it. So yeah. He's told me about it.
Yeah, that's why. What's weird?
What
about
is necrophilia,
that?
Jake?
What's your fetish?
Yeah, why can't we write about it? You know, it's called fan fiction.
Well, also, yeah, like
no, but I was like, what's necrophilia? I don't know.
It's when you have sex with dead bodies.
Oh, okay.
Entries.
I just want to
know. No, that's dentrophilia. Do you know how I know that that's dentrophilia?
I can't hardly wait.
I thought
it
was can't hardly
wait. Yeah.
Motherfucking wait.
Oh
yes.
Yeah,
love that movie. Yeah. So, one more. Little...
I hate to be this person.
Oh, what? Oh my God.
Wait. So, but like, look, that's happening around him. Like, if your mom was like, "I got sodomized again last night by the ghost," like, what's his cathartic way to deal with this?
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Turn it into poetry.
Angsty teen poetry. Yeah. I think it's great. Yeah. It's very healthy. It's very therapeutic. However, not therapeutic. He did have a behavioral episode where he attacked and threatened to rape his cousin, Danny. Oof. So they had him arrested and evaluated where they claimed he was becoming schizophrenic, which like Hodgkin's lymphoma and schizophrenia, that's awful.
Well, sounds like it.
Right. It was showing signs.
I'm no doctor, but.
It's tough. But then they also noted that they removed him from the house after this and his time away from the house, he started like getting better. So they were like, ooh, schizophrenia, maybe just ghosts.
Right.
Who knows? And then they brought him back into the house and shit kept happening. So moving on, in the film, they find out that the house is cheap because it was a funeral home / mortuary. Do we think that the Snedeker family found out that this house was a funeral home / mortuary?
Like after moving in?
After moving in. Mm-hmm.
Man. I just feel like that's like such an obvious thing if you look around the house at all, if it was laid out in the movie. I'm going to say yeah.
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 So yeah, what's interesting is that like Carmen, the mom, claims that she did not know upon purchasing the house that it was used as a mortuary. But when they went into the basement, so kind of exactly like the movie, they discovered there was no locked doors, but essentially the basement was sectioned off into different rooms. And one of the rooms was filled with tools used by morticians. And it did, in fact, have an embalming table in the middle of it.
Wow. That's crazy. Yeah. So this woman's a horrible parent. Her son that's dying of cancer.
Yeah.
Well, it gets even better. Just like in the movie, Philip, the son, took room down in the basement along with one of his brothers. So he lived down in the mortuary basement.
Was that like to be away from his nutty family?
Are they
all alive right now? Are they going to hear this and be like, I'm going to kill this Connor?
They're not going to listen to this.
Yeah, I'm sure they're listening to based on
they actually
scary.
Might have like a Google alert.
Oh, hey, honey,
whatever.
Look, we're showcased on this and we're just like tearing the family apart.
I'm going to be like, oh, we have one listener. Oh, is it the Snedeker family? Oh bummer. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Cool. And then we get sued. They live down there. Also, Philip said that he used to spin his brother Bradley around in circles. On
oh,
the
that was
table.
Real. So that was that, another goofy.
Is that double true?
Edit wow. thing.
Yeah.
It just like went on really long and
they
really
went way
goofy.
Too long,
and it was
yeah.
like, why are we still watching this?
Yeah. So in the film, they find photos of dead people scattered around the house. The mom like throws some away in the beginning of the movie. They end up finding the ones of the seance later. Do you think that they found photos of dead people in the house?
No.
It's true.
Oh, fuck. Wow.
So they claim.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like, this is just like just confirming what I believe more and more is that she's a horrible mother.
Right.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Because
all these signs. Hey, if you're listening, I'm sorry. I know you had a kid with cancer. I recognize how tough that is. I really do. But like, come on.
Yeah. So Carmen, she did find photos of dead bodies as well as like toe tags. She said they found a head tag and then multiple items that they assumed were possessions of the people that like had been worked on or whatever at the funeral
home. I don't know if this is a photo question or not. Did they find any ectoplasm photos?
Oh, yeah. Ooh, good segue. Next question. Oh. So in the film, they find ectoplasm photos. They find out that the people who owned the funeral home were holding seances and stealing bodies. Do we think that that happened to the Snedekers?
That they found all that out?
That they found out the people running their funeral home were doing all that cheap shit. Yeah, you're a smart boy. That's all false.
Yeah, okay.
Cool. Totally false.
I don't know if I'm smart. I think I'm like 50-50 on these right now.
Well, I think you're doing well.
I also feel like if those photos existed, they'd be out there.
We would see that.
Right? Like it'd be a little more talked about.
Well, you know what's funny? I was watching this movie. And I was like, I'm gonna Google ectoplasm. And it was all like old black and white photos of like people that look like they have like white sheets coming out of their mouths. And I was like,
really?
Yeah, Google ectoplasm right now.
Interesting. There's some memento mori. Well, so yeah, that's all bullshit. There were no bodies. They didn't find anything about doing seances. However, when they were looking into the history of the funeral home, I don't know if you knew this, Jake, but they did discover that one of the employees at the funeral home was found guilty of necrophilia and fire.
I did not read that. Wow.
Yeah. So that obviously like enhanced their suspicions about Philip with his poetry. And they like assumed that that maybe angered some of the spirits that were like causing the hauntings.
Was Philip involved in
necrophilia? Well, no, but then he was writing all the poetry about necrophilia.
We're saying like,
man, there's like so many horrible things going on here. It's just like,
so the ghosts were like possessing him to do it because theoretically those bodies had been diddled.
Yeah.
Diddled.
Are we saying at the time?
Fingered like the bass.
Yeah, like the bass, yeah.
Are we saying at the time that these people died, like that was when the mortician was banging dead bodies?
So it was when the funeral home was active, before the family moved in, there was an employee.
So they're just like taking it out on others because it's what they know.
Yes.
That's kind of the theory that we got to. That the family got to. I was not there.
I think I'm coming to really obvious conclusions because I've had two PBRs.
It's good. Loosen up. Hopefully our listeners are drunk too. If you're listening, we do recommend to be drunk while listening to this podcast.
It's the only way I can get through it.
Yeah. It's easier to deal with whatever I'm talking about too.
Just let it help.
I can handle Trisha's dirty stares a little better when I've had a few PBRs.
Take your medicine, Jake. Take your medicine. So this is a perfect segue. Oh my goodness. Speaking of all of our alcoholism in the film, the dad is an alcoholic. Do we think that Alan Snedeker?
Yeah, sure.
False.
Oh, fuck. Wow.
But he did come home and break all the lights.
Super interesting.
Who left the lights on?
No, he did.
Electric bill.
You're not joking, right? No. Yeah, he did. Oh. He literally, so.
Well, that's a curveball. Did he come home drunk and do that?
No.
Okay.
Because they were super poor. This house was like, I mean, it was super cheap.
He was just angry.
He was pissed. The kids were too scared to sleep with the lights off. And their electricity bill was high because I guess the family kept leaving the lights on. So he just took all the light bulbs out.
But yeah, I can get that. That'd be a lot of pressure to deal with, like your son dying of cancer. Your wife is getting sodomized by ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
Your kids can't sleep. Your
electrical bill.
Yeah. I mean, I would sleep with the lights on.
Yeah, I would not sleep there in general.
Yeah, I would leave the house.
I would leave, yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing, like the common theme with all these movies is like people just stay in these houses when they could just leave, I would think.
Well, I think they try.
So that was a quote I read where they were talking about the truth of what they've been saying about everything going on in the house. And it was apparently being assaulted and raped by Satan's minions for months at a time wasn't good enough reason to break the lease.
This is like, they couldn't get out. And I guess if they had nowhere else to go, I'd be sleeping on a freaking, like in a tent in the front yard.
I'd like go to the fucking park, public park and sleep there.
There's got to be somewhere you could like find.
But like a hotel, maybe?
Like a friend, maybe?
Like a non-haunted hotel?
Yeah, a non-haunted hotel.
Or it's just possible that they're charlatans and they made this all up. Yeah. But, you know, wait, what are you going to do? So Speaking, oh God, I'm setting myself up for amazing segues. Speaking of charlatans.
It's because you had a 7-week break. So you're
I'm so fresh. In the film, Matt befriends the Reverend Popesco at his cancer facility, who kind of like helps him figure out what the ghosts want and like ultimately saves the day. Do we think that there was a reverend who the family befriended?
I think, yeah. I mean, I think you can make friends when you're doing chemo.
So false.
Oh, fuck. Right.
But well, shit, what here's I what I will say. While there was no reverend.
But he made friends with the guy that was doing chemo with him, right?
No.
Fuck.
That wasn't, I don't know, to be fair. That wasn't in any of my research. But they did, the family did contact the famed and wonderful Ed and Lorraine Warren of Conjuring. And Annabelle and Amityville and all of that fame. So the Warrens came to the house along with a paranormal researcher named John Zaffins, where they corroborated the family story. So Carmen.
So Vera Farmiga went to their house?
Vera Farmiga and Patrick Wilson.
Farmiga, I don't know if that's correct.
Farmiga. Have I been not saying it right for years?
Farmiga?
Vera, I don't know.
I'm sorry, Vera. I'm a big fan of yours.
And sexy daddy Patrick Wilson. Oh, God, I love him. Oh, God.
Did you ever see, he's
can we just pause?
Is that his thing? Like, little children, he plays a sexy dad? And anyway.
Back to Carmen's psyche. So she claims that she had been seeing these two horrific apparitions. One of them had black hair and black eyes, and the other had white hair and white eyes, and was wearing a pinstripe tuxedo. And they were growing, like, ever so violent. These were the members that were like raping the family. It was bad news. So they brought in the Warrens and John Zaffins, who came and lived at the house with them. They completely corroborated the family's story. They claimed that they witnessed the family being beaten, pushed, slammed into the floor by demonic forces, that they saw manifestations of these evil spirits. So the Warrens were like, we're super convinced. They ordered a full-scale exorcism of the property. And in order to get that done, they had to hire three priests because they claimed that two of them came and attempted the exorcism, but were so terrified by what was happening that they just bounced. And so it took the third priest was able to like fully perform the exorcism on the property. And Zelda Rubinstein, this house is clean, like deemed it totes fine. So yeah, that's what they say happened.
That's cool. Are you asking me if that's true?
That is true.
Yeah, okay, cool. Oh, I was like, this is a really long true or false question.
Is it actually true? No, that was true. But like, actually, like, I'm sure.
Well, so I have another quote.
Ed and Lorraine Warren are like, oh, you have quotes?
So this is my research. I found that basically what happened was they were what are they called? The Warners?
The Warrens.
The Warrens.
God,
I keep fucking it up.
Disrespectful.
I know. So they.
Yeah, that's the most disrespectful thing we've said about them on this podcast today.
They liked the story, so they got their guy who wrote all their books to come in.
Oh yeah.
And the quote was he said, "I found that the accounts of the individual didn't quite mesh.
Add up." Yeah.
They couldn't keep their story straight. I went to Ed with this problem.
Warren.
Thank you, Ed Warren. Oh, he said, "Oh, they're crazy. You got some of the story. Just use what works and make the rest up. Just make it up. Make it scary."
So this opens up a whole side conversation. Ed and Lorraine Warren are obviously extremely controversial figures in the world of ghost hunters because, again, why I had that segue earlier, they're just basically charlatans, right?
Yeah.
And like are totally
profiting. They sound crazy.
Well, they just they prey on these families who like are having a hard time and essentially.
Do they charge
like,
them money to go over there?
I don't think they did. I don't think they did.
You're welcome.
But don't quote me on that. Well,
they probably also sign off like their rights or.
Yeah, they're like going over like, ooh, I get another book and another movie.
Yeah. I've read a couple of the books. They're super interesting. They actually scared the living shit out of me. Okay. So burning the house down. That's how Matt rids the spirits eventually, is that he burns the house down. Do you think that when all was said and done, they had to burn this house down to really like finalize the exorcism?
He shook his head no the whole time.
Yeah, he was like, no, that's a stupid question, Trisha.
And I wasn't saying it was a stupid question. I wasn't, no. I don't think they burned the house down.
Yeah, they did not.
That would be like the craziest thing about
Once again, arson, guys. It's it's a punishable.
Yeah.
Offense.
Making up ghost stories isn't maybe you'll get a movie made out of it. But if you burn a house down, you like that sticks.
Yeah. Yep. So it still stands. The Snedeker family only lived there 2 years. Actually, they were finally able to get out of the lease and they moved to Tennessee. So they did not burn the house down. But do we think that Philip's cancer was magically cured when the house was
You guys both
cured?
Raised your eyes in like a way that like makes me think you're leading me on.
Oh. Mm. Mm.
Yeah, is that your...
I'm just going to say yes because I want to be hopeful that it was.
That's nice of you.
I know, but no.
He died of cancer?
Yeah, oh, so sadly, fuck. Yeah. I know. Ugh. This is a tough one. So yeah, he...
We're going to end this.
Right? Hey, do we think
it's not,
that...
It's
hey,
not the end.
But last question, do we think he lived?
Yeah.
Nope, he didn't.
No.
He died.
No.
He died August of 2012. He was only 38.
August what?
Oh, I don't know the date.
Oh, fuck.
I didn't... I'm sure I can
Oh, wait, 2012?
Yeah.
Oh, so he lived a...
He lived... 38?
Yeah, that's fair.
So, okay, this is the last one. Do we think the end card says that the house is now clean? Do we think that the real house is actually clean? Or do you think that it's still might
haunted?
Be haunted?
Yeah.
I think it's clean because no one else is saying it.
Wait, are we using the term
crazy.
Clean as
I'm Zelda Rubensteining this. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Is there no ghosts in it?
Yes, there are no ghosts in it. The current owners, the Troda Smith family, they claim that nothing bad has ever happened there. The only bad thing is that people stop and take pictures of it all the time. But they're like huge. They basically like go out and speak publicly about how like the Snedeker family is lying. And
yeah,
it's totally ludicrous.
Sure.
They challenge their accounts constantly. In fact, the Snedekers were like super vocal about this and basically tried to be famous because of it. And they went on talk shows like Sally, Jesse, Raphael, doing everything they could to get out there. You can watch interviews of the family on
YouTube.
Yeah,
it was so clear that they were out there trying to make.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Because it was after the whole contract that family made money.
The Amityville.
Yeah, and yeah, so yeah. It's just like they were like, oh, we could do this now. You
sure.
Know?
Yep. And again, the Warrens were involved in the Amityville case, so like very clearly these people were just kind of like, oh, wait, we got haunted. I mean, like who knows? Maybe some bad stuff happened. But
yeah,
like,
I'm sure some weird shit happened when you're fucking crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But that's, yeah, that is the tale of the Snedeker family and the haunting in Connecticut. So in conclusion, ghosts are not real.
Don't see this fucking movie.
And this movie's fucking trash.
Yeah. Or watch it with a friend and make fun of it the whole way through. Because I had a great time watching it.
You want to do the ratings?
Let's do the ratings. So at the end, we like to give a rating 0 through 10 out of 10 of how accurate we thought that the movie portrayed the real story. Now that you know the real story, what do we want? What do we want as our barometer?
1 out of 10 cancers.
Oh my God.
1 out of 10 cancers.
Yeah. Fine. Okay. So zero.
Are you going to do 1 out of 10?
Yeah. One, 0 out of 10.
Cants.
Yeah. Oh man.
What do you think? What would you give this film for portraying the actual story of this?
Not movie rating. Yeah.
I know my movie rating, but I think it's kind of the same as this one.
Oh.
Like 4 out of 10. Because like, look, it's really hard to like to say how accurate it is when like it's all based off this family that says bonkers shit.
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
that's
if
fair.
You're going off of like what the family
like, whereas
says,
was a box of eyelids actually found?
No.
Yeah, so I don't know about that. Maybe 3 cans.
3 cans.
He dropped a can because there's no dried eyelids in a box.
What about you, Jake? What do you think?
I'm gonna go one cans. Yeah.
I'll go 3. I think 3. Like they got the setup and the fact that they moved into the house, the kid dying of cancer, the funeral home. They even like did the blood mopping. Like they got little details right.
Yeah.
But basically, everything that the movie was about is complete bullshit.
That's why I think it
so
deserves
no
a 1.
In there, right? There's no bodies.
There was no bodies.
There's no bodies. That's, no seance. None of that.
That's why I think it deserves a 1 because they did the bare minimum.
I'll give it a 3.
Okay, that's fine.
Well, this was. Connor, thank you so much for
thanks for having me. Thanks for putting up with me.
This was fun. Is there anything you want to like plug or promote while you have a mic
so
in front of you?
So I have 2 open units in my building right now. This is a 2-bedroom, 2-bath. It's $3,295.
Jesus Christ.
West Hollywood.
Well, no, but you booked a show recently.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So,
yes,
all right. I'm going to be on Investigation Discovery on February.
Yeah.
It's called Man with a Van. I play a guy that drives a van. So.
You are indeed the man with the van.
Is this like it was just one episode or is this?
Yeah,
multiple
I'm
episodes?
Just like it's cool because it was like my first TV thing. So I'll like say lines and have a name. So that's exciting. It was really fun. Everybody was cool. But yeah.
What'd you do to the girl?
I ogled girls much younger than me. So it was a really hard stretch for me to do.
Yeah.
I'm not used to that at all.
Yeah.
So yeah, it'll be cool. I think it's out in February and you can like see me looking menacing at teenage girls and. I can tell you what else that happens.
And then the people in your apartment building are going to be like, what? Is that?
I saw
is
this
that
guy
fucking
I
just, yeah. property?
Is that that creepy guy that rented us this place?
I love it.
Beautiful. Oh, well, thanks again.
Yeah,
this was fun.
And Jake, again, I have two open units in my building.
Two open units. As always, thank you so much for listening,
guys. Thanks,
guys.
Yeah.
And happy hauntings.
Happy Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving, yeah. Happy Thanksgiving. Hope you had a great Halloween. We'll see you later.
All right, bye.